Chapter 6 4 days was not enough time for a feat on this scale, but as was their way, the warriors of the Emperor's Children's Second Company had excelled. Flags of Imperial Gardenal and the Aquila Resplendent preempted the inevitable triumph of the coming days, suspended amidst the clan banners of the practice hall in a checker pattern of red and gold, silver and black. They hung from the ceiling ductwork, pregnant with the hard work of the chapter serfs and regimental chefs of the 52nd, who had set up over the open forges below. Hot plates, tandoors, tagines, and huge induction kilns bubbled and spat, obliterating all thought and odour of war with the spice of half a dozen worlds and 100 culinary traditions. Second Company itself retained the services of an artisanal victualler from the culinary schools of Anatolia, much favoured by their captain. The Space Marine's sense of taste was intense, and trace scents of paprik and sumac were enough to send Arkaduana's aptly named Remembrancer organ on a dizzying meme spiral through the pepper silos of the Bosporic Trench and back. As with anything not directly related to war, Arkaduana possessed little talent for the victualler's craft. That had not kept him from persisting at it long after his stubbornness had driven half of the Third Legion to despair. The very fact that the Emperor had not predisposed him with the ability was all the reason Arkaduana needed to pursue it. For where was the reward in excelling where one had been designed to excel? He frowned critically, drawing the thick wax tip of his pencil over the lithographic plate. The Mechanicum assayers that had performed the preliminary surveys of Vesta had discovered the limestone formation just below the permafrost layer. Arkaduana had immediately been struck by its perfection. A cut and machined plane of the Vesta limestone now rested on the easel before him. In the raised wax layered atop it, he could see the 10th Legion commanders, who had answered the invitation to the pre-victory feast, looking about in amazement at what had been wrought on their hall. Elsewhere, larger groups of Emperor's Children drew the iron hands that had been incorporated into their squads between the victual stalls and fighting cages. The other figures that made up the scene he had deliberately downplayed, brushes of feeling and motion that were essential to the mood of the piece, but only in a collective sense. Thousand Sons, the officers of the two expeditions' army regiments, their faces portrayed awe, shock, powerful emotions that broke Arkaduana's heart to recreate, and that would shatter Fulgrim's doubly, for the Primarch had a superhuman's capacity for empathy. Arkaduana rubbed a tear into the coppery skin of his cheek. He moved his attention to the crowded area at the very heart of the scene, scratching off a piece of wax under his thumbnail and thoughtfully reapplying it. He hissed out through his teeth in frustration. He just could not capture Ferus Manus as he saw him. The Primarch stood a metre above his greatest warriors. No trace of the brooding giant Arkaduana had left in his chambers as he circulated among the Legion's warriors. On the surface, Ferus was the most uncomplicated of beings, plain-spoken, logical, reasoned. But he was coming to see the increasing layers of opacity. There was hostility, and even outright misdirection beneath that tempered facade. Arkaduana could respect that. Nothing of worth ever came easily. He drew back to examine the restored likeness. He snarled, crushed the wax pencil to flakes in his fist. It was nowhere even close to good enough. He did not know why he even tried. Snatching up the cloth with which he had intended to wrap the plate for a return to pride of the Emperor and subsequent printing, he made to toss it over the pathetic attempt. It was all he could do not to break it in half under his boot. Why not use an imager and save yourself the headache? Amadeus Duquesne was as pristine as an antique Thunder Warrior figurine. His ancient armour had been polished until even the black shone with the captive luminosity of all the stars it had ever basked under. The veil of chainmail that sailed from his shoulder plates had been oiled. The spikes that followed the rear rim of his gorget had been sharpened. His heavy black cloak had been steamed and pressed. The eye of Horus, etched in platinum into the cheek guard of his tall helm, glinted from under the crook of his arm. Even the steel plate fixed over his missing eye had been pressure cleansed, every last bolt. Arkaduana dropped the silk covering and shrugged the red Lacerna cloak from his shoulders. They all had their rituals. There is a certain art in imagery, I will acknowledge. But to craft an image, rather than simply recreate one, it is... His face contorted in an agony of frustration. It is more than I can achieve.
Careful, my friend.
The Lord Commander took Arkaduana's jaw in a playful grip.
You'll give yourself age lines. Before you know it, you'll look like me.
Arkaduana shook off his friend's hand with a snarl, in no mood to be mocked, and massaged his chin. His fury dissipated almost immediately, however, his expression at once turning regretful.
You Iron Hands claim to be so logical. So tell me, brother, is it logical to assume that a man with a few scars is a better warrior than one without?
Medusa's a black pit, said Duquesne with feeling. No one climbs out of it without some kind of a scar. I don't think they know what to make of a man without.
You talk as if Chemos is a glorious Eden.
Well, if you can see 10 meters and stand straight without being knocked down by the wind, then it's better.
Duquesne's brow cragged with additional furrows.
And you found Fulgrim there waiting for you. That must have brightened it for you somewhat.
And on Medusa you found Ferris. Is that not worth a little dust and bleakness?
Duquesne grunted.
I was a half-feral child in the Albion Underhives. And even there we'd heard the legends of Sathanellus.
He held a clenched fist to his chest, the old Unification-era salute.
Disappointment? Your name is Bloody Medusa.
He rolled his eyes, then frowned.
You remember how it was on Terra?
Arkaduana nodded.
It was a smaller Imperium then. Everyone knew everyone, always rubbing shoulders. It didn't matter what Legion's colours you wore. When the plate came off, we were all the same. There was none of...
He waved towards the gathering, and Arkaduana saw what he meant. Warriors divided by legion, by clan, by culture.
Of this, we're all a bit more alike than this lot care to admit. You sing for the choristers here.
Duquesne laughed, boisterously enough to draw the attention of a group of army officers seated nearby.
When I start singing, you'll know about it.
He banged his fist on his chest plate a second time.
Victories to come, and all that.
In the busy area at the centre of the hall was a huge fighting cage. 4 pillar-like legs of iron rebarred ferrocrete raised it off the ground. If it had been occupied, then its competence would have been visible from anywhere in the hall. It looked big enough to host a bout between dreadnoughts, and had bars thick enough to suggest that that was indeed its purpose. Today it was bedecked with the Turkic banderole of Second Company.
Speaking of which, said Arkaduana, I have a toast to deliver.
After you, Captain.
Duquesne dragged his cloak out of the way with a flourish. Arkaduana bowed in mock thanks.
Lords!
One of the army officers that had looked their way a moment before called the 2 legionaries over as they walked past. There were 4 of them in total, all medicae, drinking from tin mugs under a heat lamp and listening to a tinned recording describing the outline of the perfect war to come.
Oh, if it isn't Tal Riordan, Duquesne declared. And awake, too!
The man winced.
Well, the Primarch wasn't offended, I hope. Not in the least, said Duquesne. I think he rather enjoyed it.
The other medicae officers gave Riordan inquiring looks, which he quietly stonewalled. Arkaduana supposed that a man who could fall asleep in the presence of a Primarch could shrug off almost anything.
I'm here on Lord Amar's orders. I tried to see Cicerus about getting out of it, but...
The mortal sighed.
He's not left Executor's training ground since his audience with the Primarch. Point is, I've got men aboard Executor in pain for want of enough medication to go around, and about 1 million rad shots to administer before morning. Amar isn't interested. But I was hoping I could have a word with the Primarch about it.
Duquesne chuckled.
Oh, he'll love that.
Reardon looked up at the Iron Hand for a moment, unsure if that counted as permission, then nodded to himself and scooped up his officer's cane.
All right.
The old Medicaid's limp slowed the passage of the two legionaries to a procession. Soldiers, menials and warriors alike saluted Arkaduana with filled glasses and clenched fists, or bowed as he passed. Solomon and Gaius cheered. Palaeolinus and Vertinus pumped fists, encouraging some surly Iron Hands pilot that Arkaduana did not recognise to do likewise. Santar glared at him over tightly folded arms. Duquesne acknowledged all, hands outstretched to the crowds to either side of him, exhorting his own legionaries to the spirit of an occasion they did not wholly appreciate or understand. The bars of the great cage rang like an upturned bell to the brazen cries of victories to come, and before it stood the Primarch. He was awesome in his full panoply of war, and thronged by lesser warriors, the very greatest of whom were but shadows of his mighty stature. Ferris's eyes shimmered. With amusement? Indulgence, as a father might show a child? Or did Arkaduana read too much into a mere reflection of the light?
Welcome, Ferris said, a narrow smile on his face, but nothing of the sort anywhere close to those eyes.
He looked down to the mortal Reardon.
You are adequately rested?
The Medicaid coughed, suddenly finding himself lost for words.
Your leg.
Ferris frowned.
I had assumed the cane an affectation.
Reardon looked at his legs as if unable to figure out which one the Primarch referred to.
Shot in the knee, Lord. A live fire exercise on Jovesat 4.
He cleared his throat, tightened his grip on the cane.
Auto gun at 2 meters. It's a wonder I didn't lose it.
Why did you never replace it?
I made my peace with it.
You are a psychologi.
Reardon blinked, but it was not a question. The Primarch would have been able to recite the name and record of every soldier in the 413th expedition from memory.
I was once.
Ferris lowered himself to one knee with a clank of armour, like a giant kneeling before a child. His enormous dog-tooth shoulder rim was still higher than the regimental crest on Reardon's cap. He looked into the mortal's face, smile fixed and cold, silver eyes always distant.
What do you imagine to see in my mind, psychologi?
Reardon's throat hitched up and down, but he made no sound. Faltering from the Primarch's never-blinking gaze, he looked away, coming, as all eyes did sooner or later, to Ferris's hands.
Do you know the legend of how I got these hands?
Ferris raised one and turned it so that it appeared to change colour under the light.
Of how I slew the silver worm, Arzenoth, by plunging its body into the lava sea of Kiral.
I do, Lord,
said Reardon, and swallowed the lump in his throat.
With respect, though, I'm not buying it.
Ferris frowned, nonplussed, then laughed aloud, eyes sparkling with genuine pleasure.
And why is that?
The Medicaid lifted his own hands to his face to demonstrate.
Well, the lines, they're too straight. I've treated my share of liquid burns, and in a struggle you'd expect waves, splashes.
He shrugged.
Unless you drowned the serpent in a puddle.
A pity, said Ferris, rising.
The smile was gone.
That one was my favourite.
The calls from the crowd increased in volume. Arkaduana managed to tear his attention from the Primarch and the mortal, as Duquesne emerged bearing a ewer and a long-stemmed glass. The latter he pressed into Arkaduana's gauntlet, as, with great pomp, he filled it with wine from the former. The scent dizzied his neuroglottis with floral remembrances. His head filled with the din of clapping hands, pounding feet, men shouting in time. Raising his glass high, so as not to be jostled and risk spillage, Arkaduana backed onto the first step towards the fighting cage, then the next, and the next, until his view was level with that of the Primarch himself. His view, that of a sea of upturned faces, broken occasionally by fighting cages, lumen posts, and greasy smoke. He held out his glass, and the volume diminished in anticipation of his words.
Hold!
Santar emerged from the crowd with the dulled edge of a training blade raised. He was clad in riveted half-armour that, among the Medusans, seemed to constitute casual attire, bearing for the first time the huge org musculature of a cybernetic left arm.
"You have shown us how the Third Legion prepares for war. Let me demonstrate how the Iron Tenth spends the eve of battle."
The Iron Hands roared their approval. The Emperor's children shouted back good-naturedly. The mortals got lost in the noise. Arkaduana held Santar's bullet stare. There was no malice there, or in his words, but a determination so fierce it could easily have been mistaken for hatred.
"I understand you will be leading my second company," he said.
"And you my first,"
Santar practically spat it out.
"My second, Demeter, is a solid officer. He will go far. You will learn a lot from him."
Santar hissed in through his teeth. Arkaduana regarded him quizzically. What had he said?
"You are an opponent worthy of these cages, Captain,"
Santar managed to command his voice into a growl.
"Face me. Let's see whose traditions hold up to the test."
Arkaduana glanced towards Ferris. The Primarch's expression was typically obscure, but he seemed amused by the confrontation. Officers of the Iron Hands, he knew, were encouraged to settle such matters for themselves. He sighed.
"Very well."
A space opened around Arkaduana as Santar strode towards him, sword raised, only the Primarch himself remaining where he was, as if he were somehow part of the bones of the ship and immovable. Duquesne selected a practice sword from one of the wire baskets at the foot of the cage and tossed it into the cleared ring. Catching it neatly in one hand, Arkaduana butterflied the weapon through a few static routines to ease his muscles in and find a feel for the blade. Santar gave an appreciative grunt but didn't move. Arkaduana sized him up. This would be a different fight to that on Vesta. This time the Iron Hand would be the lighter of the two, an unpowered harness of iron and leather in exchange for his cataphracty plate, and there would be no element of surprise. Ferris Manus stepped back, clearing the stage.
"What are you waiting for?"
There was a tsunami roar from the onlookers as Santar stepped in with a sword thrust to the heart. Arkaduana's sword reacted of its own instinct, a kiss of steel, and Santar's jilted blade swept across his shoulder as though it had never wished for a deeper taste. Arkaduana had never had to think about fighting. Even as an adolescent, he had embarrassed the old Thunder Warrior tasked with his instruction, Thariel Corinth, each and every time. He had never been beaten, never been so much as grazed. For him, combat had always been as natural as listening to music or watching a sunrise, as effortless and, after a time, as dull. Santar roared, furious, breaking a prolonged exchange in which Arkaduana's attention had clearly been elsewhere, with a cleaving stroke across his chest. His bionic left shoulder more than compensated for the lack of powered support, and blunted or not, it was a blow that would have cracked ceramite like an eggshell had it landed. Arkaduana felt the vibrato in his breastplate as the practice sword stroked across it like the bow of a viola, and eased onto his back foot. Then he flicked up the toes of his trailing boot and kicked Santar smartly under the armpit. The blow knocked the Iron Hand aside, jerked apart blocky metallic fingers, and clattered his blade to the deck. Someone in the first row laughed. Arkaduana offered them a sardonic bow, as if anything they had just witnessed had been hard. He heard a bellow and turned back, the air forced from his lungs, as Santar's cybernetic shoulder hammered into his gut and drove him to the crowd. They crashed together into one of the ferrocrete bastions upholding the high cage. Santar drew back his bionic to punch. Arkaduana threw out an open palm, guided the Iron Hand's knuckles up, over and through the corner of the hefty pillar in a shower of ferric dust. He kneed the warrior in the gut. Again. Again. Cushioned by girdle muscle and heavy augmetic work, Santar felt nothing and slammed his forehead into Arkaduana's. The back of his head cracked into the fixture. He cried out in pain. Santar's face came away bloody, and Arkaduana felt a flicker of something he had not taken from a fight in 200 years. Pleasure. He threw his arms around Santar's neck, close enough to avoid another butting head, then pushed back against the pillar with his feet. Santar growled as he was bent back at the waist. Arkaduana began to walk backwards up the pillar, Santar still holding him perpendicular, as if they were an acrobat and a circus strongman, performing a spectacle for the warriors of the combined legions. Santar roared, feeling himself being pushed off balance, and dropped onto Arkaduana's arm like the blade of a guillotine. Arkaduana's wrist crunched under the Iron Hand's augmetic shoulder, but his hardened bone density spared him anything more serious than a bruise. Both warriors rolled off each other, the shouts of their brothers pounding in their ears. Santar was on his feet first, only for a scissoring kick through the ankles from Arkaduana to land him back on his face. Arkaduana swept up his sword, still rolling, and slashed it down onto Santar's wrist as the Iron Hand reached for his. There was a tink of blunted steel touching augmetic iron, and suddenly, but for two warriors breathing, all was silent. Santar slumped to the deck in surrender. Arkaduana held his sword over Santar's wrist, arm trembling from the after-effects of combat hormones, then blinked in overreaction to the drip of something warm, wet, and red into his eye. Gravely, Ferus Manus raised Arkaduana's sword on his finger. He was powerless to resist.
"At least he bled you," said Ferus.
Arkaduana touched his eyebrow and almost laughed at the giddying sight of red on his lacquered gauntlet. The blood on Santar's face had been his.
"A first?" Ferus asked.
"A first."
"Small victories, then," said Ferus,
delivering the eve-of-battle toast with the grim humour of a born conqueror.